one this morning, and anyone recall where we left off?
Romans somewhere in Jude 2. Romans 9, maybe? Am I right?
Romans 9.
Okay. Well, I was reading Romans 9.
I believe we were ending up last week in John chapter 17, weren't we? I don't know if you're familiar with John 17 or not, but it's truly one of the greatest chapters in all of Scripture. It's what we call the high priestly prayer, the prayer of Jesus to the Father, his desire to return to the glory that he had before the foundation of the world, and he knows he's going away. No, honey, that was in the garden, just... See, you should have brought your Bible.
What chapter, John?
That's 17. 17, yeah. And you'll recall that he's going back, and his prayer now is for those that will be left. And you recall I told you that first his prayer is for the disciples. And secondly, it says that not only do I pray for these, he says, but I pray for all those that will believe what these 12 say. In other words, the gospel. Because if you recall, not one gospel is written by anyone other than an apostle, a disciple. In fact, Paul, who says he's the least of all of them, wrote most of them. And so his prayer is that the Father would guard them. Now, file that. We'll come back to it. But we left off where he was talking about, and this is an amazing thing, something maybe you hadn't thought about. Maybe you've already forgotten because I mentioned it last week. That the Father loves you, Jesse. In the same way as he loves his son. Now that's an amazing thing. I mean, I want you to think about that. That the Father loves us, his children. In the same way, to the same limit, to the same depths as he loves his son. That's pretty amazing to me. Ephesians 1 says that we are accepted in the beloved. Now, it's one thing to be loved. It's another thing to be the beloved. In other words, Buddy has the ability to love, right? Well, it's not funny. You do, don't you?
Yeah.
Thank you. Look, he looks over her, he says, can I say yeah? I mean, come on, man. If I could quote a famous person. But it's another thing. Now, I got to come over here, see, because you need help now. I can see that desperately. Did you remember Valentine's Day? Now you know why he looked over there and said, can I answer? It's one thing for you to have the ability to love, and you do. But it's another thing for you to direct that love at her. That love you have for her is not the love you have for Helen. It better not be. I can guarantee you. She's the beloved. You have the capacity and the ability to love. God is love. That's what the Bible says. But it's a far different thing to be the beloved of God. That means his love is directed straight at you, straight for you. That's why I say God is love, but the world knows nothing about it. In that same priestly prayer that we're talking about, Jesus says this, and this is really something. He says, I pray for these. I pray not for the world. So the next time the world wants to say that God loves them, well, you would think that if he loves them, he'd pray for them. But he don't. Why? They're not the beloved. Oh, look, he has the capacity to love. But they're not the beloved. Can they be the beloved? Well, you better believe it. All you have to do is receive the invitation. All you have to do is believe in him. And once you become his child, you become his beloved. And once you become his beloved, Ephesians says that you are accepted. That means you are received. That means you will be forever in his presence. In that same book, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 4 and verse 5. Chapter 2 talks about that we have been quickened. We who were dead in trespass and sin have been quickened. And then it talks about our past conversation. Now, look, if you've not had a past life, I can't help you. Everyone's got a history, folks. Don't make no mistake about it. Everyone's got a history. And everyone's got a history in sin because everyone is born into sin. We've all got a past. We've all got a past conversation. And that past conversation meant that we were dead in trespasses and sins. That's your past. He says, but God, verse 4, but God. Now you better be thankful for that turnaround. But God, who is rich. Now, everyone knows what it means to be rich. Bezos? Is that his name? Jeff Bezos? You know, was he on Amazon? Worth, $280 billion? That's with a B? You know, they used to have a TV show called The Millionaire. You know, he was secretary to the late fabulously wealthy John Beresford Tipton. Y'all remember that, don't you? Huh? That's what I said. No need you to repeat it. I said it. Boy, I tell you what. What a burden. But she got the memo. She's the only one got the memo. No, let's see, who was it? Who else had that memo? Somebody else had purple on.
Brenda had it.
Oh, yeah, Brenda. Brenda's dressed in purple today. You know, it used to be something if you were worth $1 million. You were a millionaire. And that used to be something because very few people were worth $1 million. Now, if you're not worth $1 million, you can't retire. You're going to be working until you get out of here. I mean, that's what. But Jeff Bezos worth $260 billion. That's rich. But did you know there's one richer than him? The one that makes Tesla? The one that makes Tesla. He's worth more than him. Now, the guy that invented Facebook, what's his goofy name? Huh? Yeah, Zuckerberg. Did you know that he lost in the last week and a half $62 billion and he's still rich? Now, think of that. That's what we mean by rich. But, folks, that's nothing when it says, but God who is rich, because the earth is the Lord's. And everything in it, it's his. So if being worth $290 billion is rich, Imagine what owning it all is. But he's not just rich in material things. He's rich in spiritual things, the things that we desperately need, the things that we need to be rich in. For God, who is rich in... Listen, Jeff Bezos can't give you mercy. I'm trying to think of that other guy's name. Owns Tesla. What's his name? Yeah, Musk. I should remember that. I used to like Musk. My wife hated that stuff. Oh, God. I sort of liked it. You remember Musk? Oh, and she hated it, but I liked it. And she'd say, don't put that on. Finally, when she wouldn't have nothing to do with me, I said, well, okay, I won't put it on anymore. Elon Musk. God, who is rich in mercy. Now, look. If you're dead and need to be brought to life, what do you need? Do you need money or do you need mercy? I'm going with the mercy because he says, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he hath loved us. Even when we were dead in sin, hath he quickened us together in... Oh, don't miss that. In Christ Jesus. File that. That's what we call position. Where do you find the mercy? Where do you find the wealth of God? Thank you. In Christ Jesus. What does Romans 8:1 say? For there is therefore now no condemnation. Go ahead, honey. Finish it up. Loud, though. You got to speak up loud. I don't know it, but she's giving it right along as I give it. What is it? Help me when I'm giving it, you know, sort of like Barney and that, you know, I got it. You need to go over it again. No, I got it. For there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh, but in other words, how do you know someone's in Christ? Who walk not after the... In other words, you show me somebody's walking after the flesh, don't tell me you're saved. That ain't possible. Now, does that mean that at times you can't act in the flesh? Please, spend a day with me. But you don't walk after it. That means you don't practice it. That means you're like Lot. It says, for his righteous soul was vexed daily. Look, folks, if your righteous soul is not vexed daily, there's something wrong. I mean, if how this world is going, don't just tear y'all to pieces and cause anxiety. You say, well, Tom, you're not supposed to be anxious for anything. Listen, if that ain't bothering you, there's something wrong. Because now we say that right is wrong and wrong is right. That ought to bother any child of God. So it's that position. That's where you find that mercy. That mercy is where you find grace. And that grace is where you find salvation because he has in parentheses at the end of the fifth verse, what does it say? For by grace are you saved. No, that's all it says. No, that's all it says. For by grace are you saved. And then it goes on to say the other. For by grace are you saved. So when is a person rich? When you're saved. When you have that grace. When you found that mercy. When you are the beloved of the one who has it all. Then and only then. So now, look if you will. I believe chapter 10 of. Not chapter 10. Chapter 8. So now that we know that we are the beloved. Chapter 8 of Romans, by the way. Yeah, there's a lot of chapter 8. I know you were saying, well, Tom, we sort of need a book. You know, to know which chapter 8 it is, since there's quite a few of them. Now. Since we know this, now why are we talking about what we're talking about? I'm going to bring you up speed so that you know why we're talking about what we're talking about. You remember that we're talking in Jude about the great apostasy that's coming, that you could, if you don't see it like a wave, there's something wrong. There's something wrong. And what he's trying to establish here at the very beginning of the book, before he talks about this great departure from the faith, this great falling away from the Word of God, this great apostasy of the world, he's trying to let us know, as his children, that we are secure. And he does that by first talking about being called. Remember when we talked about that? And then we talked about in being called, you're called. That internal call comes how? Through sanctification. Through sanctification. And how does the sanctification occur? By whom? One, yes, and the Father. In other words, we are sanctified by God the Father. We are sanctified, and I give you the verses now. I gave you all this, so I'm not just throwing this out. And then we are sanctified by Jesus Christ, and then we're sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Now, sanctified means two things. That's one, and the other one is be made holy. Because be ye holy as your Father in heaven is holy. That's the standard. You know, you have to get there. Well, that's how you get there. Through the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, through salvation, that's how you're sanctified. And then we're talking about when you're sanctified, only the beloved are sanctified. Only that God loves in that way. And you have to distinguish that, folks. Otherwise, you say God is love and he loves everyone and it doesn't matter who you are, God loves you and everybody's going to heaven. Well, that's not what Scripture says. It says just the opposite of that. That if you are not in Christ, the love of God doesn't dwell on you. The wrath of God dwells on you. John 3:36, I believe, is where you'll find that verse. That they believe, I'll just give it to you, they that believe hath everlasting life. And they that believe not hath not, will not see life. But the wrath of God abides on them. So that's far different, folks. That's far different. So here in Romans 8, we want to know, since we know that we are loved of him and we're the beloved of him, is there anything that could ever change that? Is there anything that could ever change that? So in Romans 8, he talks about, for what shall separate us from the love of Christ? Now, no, that's on Father down. She wants to get ahead. Now, you have to follow this. He says, can tribulation? What is tribulation?
Hardships.
Trials. Difficult circumstances. Can that separate us from the love of Christ? He says. And then he says, what's the next one? Did I not tell you? We're in 35. 8 and 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress? Now, the word distress there means narrowness of room. What would we say about that? I feel squeezed. How many of you have ever felt squeezed? Oh, my goodness. So if you've not, just hang on. You'll get there. Can those feelings, he says, can certain circumstances of life, can trials in your life, can difficult times in your life, can feeling squeezed in your life separate us from Christ? Then he says, can persecution, pressure. How many of you have ever been under pressure? I'm not talking about pressure from your job. I'm talking about pressure from life. I'm talking about when I get a call about a friend of mine that means so much to me. Her husband's in ICU, not doing well. And I could feel the hurt and the pain and the agony in her voice. She was pressured. You know what I told her? I said, Serena, honey, this is going to be hard for you to understand. But all things work together for good to them that love God and are the called. Listen, your husband ain't going to make it maybe. And you're scared. And you can't see how. But that will work for good. You know, when somebody knocks on the door and gives you a check for $50,000. Oh, yeah, baby, that works for good. He ain't talking about that. He's talking about when you, circumstances, when you got a 200-pound box in your front room and you just don't see no way that building's going to get put up. By the way, if you're mechanical, I need to know about it. I can't put nothing up, but I can pay somebody to. So if you know somebody's mechanical enough to put a building together, you come see me. We're going to get it put up. But that seems small. A doggy door. Well, we laugh, but that, there's nothing too small. The pressures of life. Sometimes those things can make us think, God, you ain't around. You don't love me. No. That ain't what that means at all. Because he says, what can separate us? Can anything separate us? He says, so the persecution, the pressure, can it separate us? Or he says, or famine, or nakedness, poverty. Let me tell you something. And I've told you this before. I can remember vividly, not very many things I remember vividly anymore either. But I can remember vividly. My wife said, honey, if we could just make $500 this month, we could pay our bills. And I got a call the other day from someone real special to me. She said, I hate to ask, but I'm $25 short on my car payment. I don't know what that's like. I don't have car payment. But I've been there. You know what I told her? I said, well, hope you find it somewhere. No, I told my wife. I said, honey, pay her up for a year. She won't have to worry about that payment for a year. You say, tell them you're bragging. No. No, because I've been there. He says, can poverty, can just being poor, can that separate you? Or then he says, or pearl, P-E-R-I-L. Y'all know what that is, don't you? That's danger. He says, can being in a dangerous situation, can that separate you? And then he says, the sword. Well, you know what the sword's talking about, don't you? He says, death. I don't know if Jay's going to make it. Oh, I'm praying God will give him a miracle. But that can't separate him. Because you know what that next verse says? You say, well, Tom, I'm going to look at it. I'm looking at it too. Nay. For we are more than conquerors. What, honey? There ain't no other way to conquer. See, there's the word separate. Oh, this is so good. The word separate in that. I'll come over here. Little old Becky said, "Well, eyes lit up when I said separate." Here's what it means, honey. Space. Do you see any space between them fingers? Huh? You know why? Because there ain't. Because I'm squeezing them to death. Well, do you know what he's saying? He says, honey, there ain't nothing can come into your life and can cause any amount of space between you and my love, because you're the beloved. Well, just in case that's not good enough for you, he comes on down there and he says, for I'm persuaded. I don't have any doubts in my mind that death, life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature. Now that's an interesting word too. The word creature there can mean anything. For example, a building. Nor any creature created by the Creator. Well, what would that be? What name one thing that God didn't create? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the same was in the beginning with God, and there was nothing made that was not made by Him. So what is there that God has created that could get space? But I want you to notice what it says. It didn't say from the love of Christ. It says from the love of but it put a caveat. Oh, it put a caveat. Which is, oh, don't say it too fast. There's that word again. Where is it there's no condemnation? In Christ. Well, where is it there's no separation? Now, I want you to follow this. You can take this for what it's worth. Look, if you don't agree with me, that's on you. I don't care. What that's saying is this. You can and you will be separated from the love of God if you're outside Christ. What can separate you? Nothing. But if you're out, you will be. There'll be so much space between you and the love of God, it won't even be funny. Because I'm going to tell you something, there ain't no love of God in hell. You won't be singing the love of God in hell. And I got to tell you, Amy, I tried to remember that song. Out of His great love, He picks me up, sets my feet on a sturdy rock. Out of His great love, meaning of salvation, out of His great love. You know how you get something... Man, I mean, I woke up in the middle of the night. Out of His great love, He picked me up. I'm serious. God, my witness. I wake up in the middle of the night, and I'm humming that song. You know why? Because, bless God, I'm loved. And ain't nothing can separate me from it. Nothing. Because I'm in His Son. I'm in Jesus Christ. That's good. I don't care what anybody says. Jeremiah says this, Jeremiah 31:3. No need to turn, I'm just going to tell you. Jeremiah 31:3 says, He hath loved us with an everlasting love. Let me tell you something. When you are His child, when you are in His Son, His love for you is never going to end. Now by the faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Why? Because the day is coming when there will be no need for hope. the day's coming when there'll be no need for faith. But the day will never come for eternity where you won't need his love. And it ain't ever going to end. Isaiah 49, I believe it is. 49 or 48. Don't hold me to it. It's on the right side of my page, second column over, about middle ways down. It says this: can a mother forget her sucking child? What do you think the next word is? Yes. Yes. A mother can forget to have love for her son. But I will never forget you. You might think it's not possible for a mother to not love her child, but God says it is. All you got to do is look around at the children, bless God, who are cast away because of inconvenience. But my God and your God says, I'll never forget you. You know how he remembers you? Oh, the next verse tells you. He says, for I have engraven you in the palm of my hand. Oh, glory. Whew. You know what? He looks over at his hand, and you know what he sees, Jesse? He sees Tom. Tom! My child! I'll always love you. I'll never forget you. And then it says this, oh, I love this, and I'm going to give you a good example. He says, and your walls are continually before me. You know what the word walls means there? It means this: protection. Joined. Get that, honey. Remember I said, what, chef separates you? Oh, no, you're joined. Think about this. I know we say it at weddings, but it ain't meant for weddings. Whom God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. Well, that can't mean marriage, bless God, because we put them asunder all the time. But I'm going to tell you something. When God marries you, bless God, there ain't nothing, no one, or no power can ever separate you from him. And then he says, your walls, your protection are continually before me. I'm going to give you a good example. Don't tell it outside this room. It gets back to my wife. I'm in trouble. I'm going to Elizabethton the other day to an appointment. I'm talking to Dave on the phone. I'm going out towards and getting off at the Elizabethton exit to go to Elizabethton. I ain't paying attention. I'm talking. I look up, and from me to that door is a line of cars, and I'm doing 65 miles an hour. I put the brake on. The back end's going this way. And everyone knows, no, don't keep your foot on that brake, honey. You got to let go of that brake. I let go of that brake. Them cars are getting closer. But in an instant, my car's over here in a safe lane, and I go by them. You say, Tom, you're just a good driver. You say what you want to say. I say, my protection is continually before him. He had a son that was acting stupid and wasn't paying attention, but you know what? He was. It's so good to be loved by him. Out of his great love, pick me up. Set my feet on a sturdy rock. Whew, glory. But not only are you loved, you're kept. John 10, that great chapter on the door. Says any man comes up any other way, he's a thief and a robber. But he that entereth into the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him, it says, the porter openeth. In other words, Jesus is the door in, folks. And then he goes on to say that his sheep hear his voice. And they don't just hear his voice. They know it. They don't even just know it. They follow it. He says he goeth out and he calleth his sheep and they follow. Let me tell you something. If you ain't following, you ain't hearing. You ain't hearing, you ain't his. It's just that simple, folks. It's not complicated. See, we got a lot of people say they're following, but they ain't following. You can tell by their life they don't follow. And if they're not following, they're not hearing. And if they're not hearing, it's because they're not his. Because he says, I know my sheep. And I speak to them. And they hear me. And they follow me. But in Matthew 7, he says, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Now, that's a far different thing, folks. You won't find anywhere in Scripture where it says, I used to know you, but I don't anymore. No. But on over in chapter 10, after he talks about the sheep and everything, he wants them to know the same as he wanted them to know when they were loved, that they're secure. Because look, I don't know about you. I've been saved since February 1982. What is that? Almost 40 years now. Well, it is 40 years. It's February 22. 40 years. 40 years. I will confess to you, there's been times that I have doubted what I had. But not for long. You know why? Okay. You know why? Think about what I just said. Well, no. You know why I didn't think but for a second that? Thank you. He says, my sheep hear my voice and they follow. Well, it didn't take long for the Holy Spirit to say, Tom, no. Let me remind you something, he says, Tom. He says, no one is able to pluck them out of my hand. And then in another verse, he says, no one is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Well, how many hands are there? Huh? No, in those verses, that Jesus says, my hands, and then he says, my Father's hands. So how many hands are there? Huh? Four? Two? Oh, the next verse says, for my Father and I are one. So here's what that means. If you are in Christ, there's that little old bitty word again. If you are in Christ, you are in his hands. And if you are in his hands, you are in the Father's hands, and there ain't nobody. I tell you what, look over at Colossians chapter 3. I believe that's where it's at. If it's not, I'll tell you what it says. But I'll read it to you real quickly. I got to hurry. Well, hey, because of the time. Colossians chapter 3. Yeah, if I wasn't so shaky, I could get there quicker, but that's after Philippians, isn't it? No. All right, here's what it says. If you then be risen with Christ. Now, paraphrase that. If you're saved. That's pretty simple. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Now, what is he doing at the right hand of God? That's exactly what he's doing. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ. Here's what that says. And I heard someone say this morning that he had heard that someone was after, that Satan was after someone. Well, let me tell you something. For Satan to get you, first of all, he's got to go through Christ. Well, that ain't going to work out. But even, God won't hold this against me, hypothetically, even if he could get through Christ, then he's got to go through God.
That's not going to happen.
Well, he's not going to get through Christ to start with, but if he did, he ain't going to get through God, because there's none greater. For my Father is greater than all, and no one is able to pluck me out of his hand. What's that saying? Oh, that's saying he'll keep you. Not only will he call you, not only will he internally sanctify you, and not only will you become loved by him, he's going to protect you. He's going to keep you. Look back at the same prayer in John chapter 17. Look at that. I believe it's verse 11, if I'm not mistaken. Verse 11 of John 17. Here's what it says. And now I am no more in the world, but these, the disciples. And remember, he's talking not only about the disciples, now he's talking about all those that will believe to follow. So that's us. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me. All whom the Father hath given me will come to me, and those who come to me I will in no wise cast out. So if you belong to the Son, you belong to the Father, and the Son is saying this, Father, I got to leave them now. Will you keep them? Well, I'm going to tell you, I believe my prayers are answered. But I can guarantee you that Jesus' prayers are answered. So when he says, Father, will you keep them? And how does he keep them? Through his name. For his name is great. Listen, he says, swear by no other name, for there is no name under heaven given among men whereby must you be saved, or there is no name above my name. So when he says, keep them through his name, that's exactly what he means. And then he says this on down in verse 15. He says, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world. In other words, when you're saved, you're not raptured, but you're sealed. You're sealed until the day of redemption. How? By the Holy Spirit. That's how God answers the prayer of the Son when he says, keep them through thy name. He says, it's needful that I go away, for if I go away, the Father will send another, a comforter, and he will keep you. And he says, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the... Satan can't lay a hand on God's child. Make no mistake about that. And then in Hebrews chapter 7, I believe it is, in verse 25, he says this, for he is able to save to the uttermost. Now, what is another word for uttermost? Starts with an E, next letter's T, next letter's E, eternally. For he is able to save eternally all those Not everyone. All those that come to God through him, seeing that he ever liveth to make intercession. Hebrews 9 of that same book says that he is in the presence of God for us. And in that same book, chapter 10, he says this, "For by one offering hath he perfected." What's another word for perfected? Starts with an S, next letter's A, next letter's V. "For he hath saved forever them that are sanctified." Right back to where we started. You're the called. You're the sanctified. You're the loved. And you're kept. How long? Forever. And is there anything, anyone, any creature that can separate you from that?
No.
Not on your life. So when you see the apostasy, don't be afraid. You're fine. That's why he says, "I wanted to write to you of the great salvation, but it was needful that I write to you that you should earnestly contend." Everyone knows what it means to contend, don't you? Fight for the once for all delivered to the saints faith. Hold the faith up. Hold the faith up. That's the faith, folks. That's the faith. And he says, fight for it. And you know what it means to fight for it? You know what it means to keep it and to guard it and to honor it? Live by it. Believe every word in it and live by it. And when you see others living against it, don't go. Don't stray. Stay faithful. We'll pick up next week.